Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. Fly, motherfucking Blackbird, fly. Welcome back to the Rude Dude Podcast. It is I, one of your hosts, Cameron the Cree Davis, here on a nice, wonderful 94-degree Sunday afternoon in the shithole that is known as Sacramento, California. As you can tell, it is just me. Once again, it's been wild, wacky, and straight up just a little bit fucking crazy around here for the Rude Gang. Summertime, you know, is in full swing. Hen has been everywhere under the sun and nowhere at once. He is back home, which is a good thing, but he is not here with me. I think he's in North Carolina, if memory serves me correct. He is in North Carolina or headed back to West Virginia. Who fucking knows? But the reason that we didn't have an episode last week, I do want to formally apologize for that, was because Hen came out to California to pick up a truck that was, I guess, it shit out in Wyoming when he was in Colorado 2 weeks ago or whatever the fuck that was. And it had some electrical issues, and he ended up having to, I think he actually flew into Wyoming and then drove through the Midwest, which actually sounds like hell on earth, to be honest with you. Not much to see out there. I'm glad that he made it out safe. I was worried about him because, you know, there's some good old boys out there, and, you know, Henry still got his California tendencies. I didn't know if he was going to make it out of there alive. But the Eagle has landed. He is back in West Virginia, and here I am. So I thought I'd give everybody a little update on, you know, what's going on over here with me. What was it? Last weekend, I took the family to Fort Bragg. And if anybody knows anything about traveling with young children, like a four-year-old and a one-year-old, you know that that's pretty rough going. That is not for the faint of heart and is actually fucking terrible, dude. The drive up was fantastic. You know, Graham slept literally the whole way. And for context, Fort Bragg is an ocean town on the California coast. Sacramento's kind of smack dab in the middle of, you know, the northern Central Valley. It's up there by Humboldt. So up there where they grow all the good chronic. And you can tell that it's up there because everybody walking around looks nice and stoned and shit. But Graham slept the whole way. It was like 3.5 hours, 4 hours. I was on full on dad mode, you know, trying to beat the ETA in an SUV full of shit. But I was hauling ass. I was passing cars. I was driving like a fucking madman, and I did beat the ETA. So hats off to me. I keep my dad guard. But, you know, we rolled up there, and it was tons of fun. You know, beautiful scenery up there in that coast. You got big redwoods and Glass Beach, which is actually kind of funny now that we sit here and talk about that. I think, like, what was it? Like, a company fucking dumped just a shit ton of glass into the ocean, like glass bottles and shit. And Mother Nature doing her thing. All that broken glass and everything, it's washed back up to the shore, and it's all these little, you know, nicely smoothed out pieces of colored glass. So it's quite the adventure to go down there searching for, you know, little glass shekels. I got a few of them. It was super dope. But if I'm being honest, you can't really relax when you're on a vacation like that with your kids. Now, I don't want this to get taken out of context, like, oh, hey, yeah, dickhead. I mean, look, you're on a family vacation. What do you think you're going to do? Fucking relax. I love my family. I wouldn't change it. We had a great time. I have some fantastic pictures of me and Addison scaling cliffs. A seal popped up in the middle of the hazardous ocean and stared at us for, like, I swear to God, I had like a fucking stare down with a seal for what seemed like at least 45 seconds. Me and the seal were not breaking eye contact. I didn't blink. He didn't blink. But I did come out victorious. The seal fucking turned around and swam under the ocean and ran away like a bitch. And so I beat the stare down with the seal. Addison thought that was rad. But we had a good time. We ended up leaving early though, because dude, it was just so fucking exhausting. There's not much to do. Once you get done seeing the beach and the shops and all that shit, when you get back to like the hotel room, which was a vital mistake. We should have gotten a Airbnb, but you know what? It was kind of a fast thing, and lessons are learned there. But regardless, when you get back to the hotel, what the fuck are the kids going to do? I got a 1-year-old running, crawling around, trying to touch goddamn every fucking socket, trying to go and jump into the fucking toilet, trying to go do all this. Addison's bored. I bring the fucking Xbox up there so I can connect to Hulu and all this shit. The internet is ass, and it was just fucking crazy. But we had a good time. Drive back was insane. There's a bunch of fires up here in Northern California, per usual, but we made it back and all was well. All was well. See, this is a podcast about recovery, but here it's just a therapy session of me sitting here telling you about my random life issues. Here's something that you guys will have a good laugh about. So when we got back from Fort Bragg, I noticed that there was like a wet spot, or Ashley noticed it. Somebody fucking noticed it. There was like a wet spot on one of our rugs. Okay. And well, Rudy was not here. Rudy was at my parents when we were gone. So I'm like, oh, sweet, dude. You know what that means? That means that one of the cats pissed on this rug. And my cats don't piss outside of the litter box, or at least so I thought. But lo and behold, yeah. I mean, it was cat piss on a rug. And I was like, oh, fucking dude, I'm going to have to kill a cat, dude. Cats are going to have to die. So, we're sitting there chilling, yada, yada, yada. Next day comes back. I wake up in the morning, and my cat Fred is one of the fatter and lazier cats that we have. He doesn't really go outside much. He just eats. He literally, when you pick him up, he feels like a goddamn bowling ball. He's huge. But he comes outside in the mornings when I walk outside and do my little morning meditation and prayer routine. Well, I see him, and he's going into like my little succulent pot that I have over here, and he's like popping a squat, and I'm like, dude, what the fuck? And so when he gets off the pot, per se, look at that. That was unintended and just fantastic, fantastic comedic quality right there. Well, my cat got off the pot. Anyways, so he got off, and he turned around, and he started meowing like he was in massive pain. Okay. Massive pain. I'm like, oh, dude, what the fuck? And so I tell Ash, and Ash is like, well, shit. He's had this urethra problem back in the day, like 10 years ago, where his urethra closed up and they had to like go in there and open it up or some shit. I who knows? I was drinking during that time. I couldn't tell you what happened during that, but I guess his urethra closed 10 years ago and they had to, you know, fix it. And so she's like, let's call the vet. So meanwhile, a little backdrop for this, my parents, you know, my mom retired and does childcare for me. And so Addie's out of school and Graham is 1 year old. So obviously all this shit, Ash and I are working during this time. They're on vacation. My parents, they decided they were going to the Oregon coast. I have no backup fucking babysitting. And here's a little side tangent on this. If you guys work from home, anybody knows about this, working from home with two kids is even worse than vacationing with two kids. Nothing is happening. Nothing's going on. Ashley had fucking meetings coming out of her ass. I'm over here literally getting absolutely nothing accomplished. I got cats pissing on rugs. I got fucking cats pissing in potted plants. Now I got collapsed cat urethras. And now I got to scramble to try to get to the vet. So that's where we're at in this story. Okay, so Ashley calls the vet. And the vet goes, yeah, we can't get you until August 14th. And, well, that's fucking fitting. Okay, then what do we do? So Ash calls the same place that we had the urethra fix happen. And they're like, yeah, you got to get him in right now. You got to get him in. This could be fatal. I'm like, okay, all right. So what do I got to do? I got to grab Addison. Okay. We got to wrangle the cat who somehow through telepathic knowledge knows that it's going to the fucking vet, runs and hides under my deck in my backyard. I have this little like deck patio in my backyard, goes and hides under there. And so I'm out there stomping with a stick, trying to work. Graham's crying. Ashley's in fucking meetings. I got a cat with a broken penis. And Addison's just sitting around saying she's bored and wants ice cream at fucking 9 in the morning. So we eventually wrangle him up. I'll try to wrap this up. But we eventually wrangle him up and we get him in his little crate. And he's super juiced. Like he's meowing nonstop. I get Addy in the car. I got my work laptop in tow. And we get in the car. Cat's meowing. And I turn on the car and we're driving and well, look at that. I have 5 miles worth of gas in the car. So I gotta go stop and go get gas. So I'm driving down to the closest gas station towards the freeway. I'm like, okay, I got a plan. There's a gas station right there. We'll get some fucking gas and we'll jam out to Roseville because that's where this vet was. And that's about a 25-minute drive from where I live. So I pull up and you wouldn't believe it, dude. The entire gas station's closed. And at this point, the cat is meowing and the cat is super nervous. And now the cat has pissed in the crate. It's 100 degrees outside. You know, it's hot as hell. And now the car smells like cat piss. I got Addison in the car. I have no fucking gas. And it's just sitting there meowing at me. So eventually, long story short, we find a gas station. And then we get back to the freeway. We drive all the way out there and get to the vet. They get him in super fast, which was awesome. I was sitting there. I had bust out my laptop. Addison's over here. Just, you know, she was being as good as she could be for a 4-year-old in a random vet. They get Fred and they take him back and we're sitting there. And of course, Addie wants water. I got emails coming out my ass and I give her this little coffee cup full of water because this is a snazzy vet. It's like one of those snazzy emergency vets. And of course, as fate would have it, Addy drops the water everywhere. Water's spilled everywhere. I mean, there's dogs in here that aren't even shitting on the floor, but somehow my daughter's got to spill a full cup of fucking water. So I got to clean that up. And this whole entire deal, I finally get called back. They want to do blood work, ultrasounds. His urethra is fixed. Everything's fine. He has some sort of little disease that I guess I got an anxious cat. So our 2-day departure was fucking traumatic for my cat, which hey, I guess I can relate to it. I'm anxious too. So maybe I'm rubbing off on my cat, but the vet's sitting here talking to me about all this. I got to buy food with special fucking crystal dissolving shit and all this stuff. I come back in with the bill. Yeah. Hey, with all this, that's $1,500. I'm like, yeah, we're not doing all that. Yeah, we're not doing $1,500 worth of shit for a cat that has anxious pissing problems. It's just not happening, dude. So I end up scratching like 15 things off this mile-long list that would have kept me at the vet, I think, eternally. If I would have stayed there and done all that testing, I think I'd still be there recording this fucking episode. So we end up getting some medication. We were there for 4.5 hours. No work was done, and they sent my cat home with the craziest shit. They sent him home with Buspirone, which is Buspar, which is like a fucking antidepressant, anti-anxiety medication for humans, and gabapentin. I literally sat here and I was like, dude, I feel like I work at fucking Progress House right now. Like I'm doing an intake with like a drug addict or an alcoholic. Like this is medication that I think I should be fucking prescribed. Like what the fuck is happening here? But it was just this hellacious fucking day, man. And when it got done, I remember laying in bed and I just looked at Ash and Ash looked at me and I was just like, man, like that was a fucking day. Cause it got home. I just spent fucking $700 on a cat visit for some fucking antidepressants because my cat wants to piss outside the litter box because it's scared. And I got kids fucking crying and all this shit, work popping off. And I mean, I think I fell asleep at like 8 o'clock that night. It was just fucking crazy, dude. Crazy. So sorry for the long diatribe on that, but I just wanted to share a little glimpse of what my life was like this last week. It was a blast. It was a blast. But the tide has turned. My parents are back. They had a good time. Thank God. You know, like, hey, I'm glad that they got to get away. They deserve that. And we will have childcare this week. And that means that we'll be hyper-focused on working like good, productive human beings. But this week, let's try to bring it into kind of what I wanted to talk about. And the reason I wanted to talk about it was because it's something that's incredibly common, and that is triggers. Triggers. Now, we have had a conversation about this in the past. I think it's like one of our first like 5 or 6 episodes, you know, where we talked about going to triggering events. But I really wanted to kind of hammer home how important these actually are and our awareness of them is, and how our awareness of them is really, you know, the end all be all in maintaining our sobriety. And what I mean by that is, prime example for me, okay, there were moments on the Fort Bragg trip where I was triggered, right? And if anybody who works an honest program, we've said this ad nauseum as well, anybody who works an honest program, dude, you're gonna get triggered. Like it's gonna happen. Like I don't think that ever goes away. I really don't. And if it does, and you're sitting here listening to me and being like, dude, yeah, it definitely goes away. I'll say what I said to my cousin Matthew, and I'll say it to your face too. You're lying. You're lying. Boldface ass lie. I don't believe you, and you don't even believe yourself. So, you can eat my ass on that. Officially as well, but I was up on a cliff in Fort Bragg and, you know, the fucking sun's out, dude. I mean, the sun is out. There's not a cloud in the sky. I just got out of fucking Sacramento where it was 108 and it's 61 degrees. There's ocean breeze hitting my face and I'm looking out along the horizon and it's just beautiful, just waves crashing. And it sent me back to a moment where I was down at Pacifica way back in the day, and it almost felt similar, right? Where I'm on a cliff and it's a beautiful day. And the differences between those two stories is I was drinking my ass off on that cliff in Pacifica. But what happened here was I almost had like, you know, like a PTSD, like trigger. Like I can't really like try to describe it. I sat there on that cliff and I was just like, damn, bro, I should be sitting here slamming a gallon of Sailor Jerry. I think that's what I was drinking that day because it was such an awesome day down there in Pacifica. But I was like, yeah, I should be doing that. And then all of a sudden, I have these come to Jesus moments where I'm like, okay, yeah, well, we're not doing that. Turn around. There's my family and shit. And another time it happened was we're driving down in the downtown Fort Bragg. And of course, like, you know, there's those little tiny little microbreweries, right? Like I'm driving around, I'm walking by, there's people out on a patio eating fucking, you know, French fries and hamburgers, drinking, you know, crisp IPAs on a foggy coast, you know, California coast fucking day. And I'm just like, man, that would be cool if I could do that. Like, man, that sounds like fun, doesn't it? And no, it doesn't. But it's the craziness of this thing that we call addiction, right? And it's funny how it can sneak up on us like that, like where you're just in an individual circumstance and it can sneak up and be like, hey, pal, like you should grab one of those beers and really have a good time on this vacation. Or, hey, bud, remember that really fun time that looked just like this when you were standing on that cliff and you didn't have a worry in the world? How about we recreate that? How about we recreate that and then we don't have any worries in the world anymore? And if you're not on your toes, dude, like if you're not, those fucking things will take your ass out quicker than you can fucking say, I'm getting my ass taken out. Like, I mean, it's really just a fucking fact. And I'm very, very strongly opinionated on this because they feel fucking powerful, those thoughts. They really do, man. When you're just kind of fucking doing your thing, you know, life, when you're sober for a long time, right? Like you know, 6 years, that's me, right? Like, okay, that's a pretty good amount of time. I'm going to stroke my ego. Hey, I'm feeling good about my recovery. And I sit here and I'm walking around, do, and then it's like, bam, slap you right in the fucking face. How about we drink, man? Oh, whoa, where the fuck did that come from? What the fuck? You know? And it's just like, holy shit, dude. Like, I mean, I'm sitting here watching my daughter pick up seashells. Like, no, we're not going to drink. Well, dude, this is kind of like a same similar, you know, scenario that you usually would have drank in, you know, 6 years ago. And it would be rad if we did that. Well, no, dude, no. And you just, you know, I have my tools and the things that I learned in the program to direct those thoughts away, and I move on. But the outright just surprise factor of them when you're working a good program or you're sober for a substantial amount of time still kind of catches me off guard. And I think it's something that we have to be mindful of, right? Like for me, like I said, it's all kind of like individualized what I've learned. You know, certain things for certain people will trigger them in different ways. Okay. Like, you know, standing on a cliff in Fort Bragg may not trigger somebody who, you know, doesn't like cliffs and doesn't like the ocean, right? Or fucking, you know, their trigger may be seeing an alleyway that reminds them of them getting fucking loaded, you know, slamming heroin in an alley when they were homeless, you know, and not having a care in the world. It can be literally anything. And it's wild how they sneak up on you like that. Me, it's really, really kind of common when it's a nice ass day and I'm in nature. I don't know why that is. I mean, I guess I do. I used to like, you know, smoking weed, doing mushrooms and drinking outside, like at the river and at lakes and going on, you know, adventures. It was kind of like, you know, Bilbo Baggins, like, let's go get loaded and go on an adventure. You know, I'm going to go fight Smaug. I mean, it's just what I did. And shout out Sketch, yeah, you know, like, you know, doing shrooms and shit like that with you and, you know, going out and being loaded in nature was kind of like my thing. And then eventually I just secluded myself and never walked out in nature at all. I just, my interaction with nature at the end of my recovery was me walking from my car to the liquor store, back to my car, back to the fucking apartment. And that was it. From nature could eat my ass, dude. I'm going to sit here in the dark and play Xbox and drink and try to find out where I'm going to hide this alcohol before my girlfriend gets home. But that's another story for another million times. But I think it's just super important to be in tune with yourself, right? Like, hey, this might make me feel uncomfortable, and weigh the pros and cons of that, right? Like weigh the pros and cons. And what I mean is, if it's all fine and well, one of my favorite quotes, which I guess it's not even a quote, it's just one of the things that my sponsor always told me in the beginning of my sobriety was, hey, you know, anytime I'd be coming up on something that was going to make me feel a little bit uncomfortable, right? He would tell me, you can go anywhere with a purpose, Cameron. You can go anywhere with a purpose. Okay. And for a second there, I was like, well, what the hell does that mean? you know? And it's, hey, I have a reason to be here. And once the reason is, you know, taken care of, then if I need to leave, I need to leave. Right. And so I've kind of taken that with me over these past 6 years. And that's been my reason. Like, I show up to certain things. And I had a really long talk with my wife last night, kind of about this, you know, just about triggers in general, kind of where it was almost like a quote unquote come to Jesus talk with like a little touch up on where I'm at in my recovery. Right. Like, her and I haven't talked about it in a while because I'm kind of on this autopilot, right? Like, she listens to the pod and, you know, I complain about being around drunk people and shit like that. And so she knows where I'm at, but we kind of went a little deeper. And, you know, I sat there and I just told her, I said, there are certain things, like, in, you know, for context, she's like, well, you don't want to go to these things. You know, it was something I didn't want to go to. And I was like, you know, the reason I don't want to go is because everything that's going on at that event or this event or that event or whatever we're talking about, I have no business being there. I have no business being there, right? Like, the famous AANA quote, if you hang around a barbershop enough, you're eventually going to get a haircut, right? And it's not like, hey, she's trying to take me to some fucking, like, hey, let's go sit in the bar, Cameron. No, she's not trying to do that. But if it's going to be like an event where the main fucking attraction is sitting around being drunk or and being loud and all this shit, you can miss me with it, dude. You can miss me with it. Like, I don't have the time, the patience, or the energy, or the desire to be involved in that. That's not who I am anymore. It's not who I am. And when I do get in those scenarios, you know, I can seem kind of dejected, or I'll separate myself from like the masses. Like, I'll kind of just wander around by myself. And it's not anyone's fault that I'm doing that. I want everybody to live their lives. But when we're sitting around and, say, for example, people are just sitting there and they're drinking and they're bullshitting, you know, those little random thoughts, like, hey, why can't I sit around the table and have a drink? Well, I know why, and I have no desire to do it, but those random thoughts come in, and I hate it. I hate it, dude. I hate it. I absolutely fucking hate it. Like, and that's just me being honest, man. Like, I fucking hate it. Like, dude, why can't I just come to this little function, sit there, be normal, and not be worried about, you know, people drinking? You know, but I have to because of the life that I have and who I am. You know, like, I know who the fuck I am. I know what the fuck I am. And that's an alcoholic, dude. That's an alcoholic. And if I'm hanging around a bunch of fucking people drinking and fucking partying and being loud and doing shit, and that's kind of the main attraction for the gathering, I don't need to be there. I don't need to be there. And, you know, I have no qualms about not going. You know, I will do random things. I will do random things. You know, if you listen to the Sunshine episode, the Conversation with the Devil episode, if you haven't listened to that, please listen to that. It's fantastic. But, you know, she brought up when I went to her, you know, I forget, what was that, like, her 50th birthday or something. I drove downtown, and her party, surprise birthday party, was at a bar downtown on K Street by Golden One Center where the Kings play. And I gave her a hug. I stood there awkwardly, and I made my presence there known. And I said, I have to leave. I have to leave. I didn't have any desire to drink. I actually was kind of really turned off by the whole entire thing. But it's not a place for me to be. It's not a place for me to be. It's just not, dude. It's just not a place for me to be. But to go back to what my sponsor Nick told me, I can go anywhere with a purpose. And that had a purpose. And I was willing to feel the uncomfortable feelings that that situation brought. I served my purpose and I left. And what I think I've already said is, you know, it's super important for us to know when that time is, right? When that time is. Like, hey, here I am. Here's what it is. Oh, hey, everybody, how are you doing? Oh, hey, or you know, you see some friends, like, say, for more context, like, you see some friends that you used to get loaded with. Hey, well, hey, we're having a barbecue or whatever the fuck we're doing. Okay, well, hey, maybe I'll show up. And you show up and, you know, you shake hands and kiss babies and everything's fine. And when that moment comes, like, hey, you know, everyone's getting a little loose and, you know, Jimmy said the same thing to me 27 times. I think it's time for me to leave. Well, I've only been here an hour. Well, that doesn't fucking matter. That doesn't matter because we have to weigh these pros and these cons out. We have to weigh these pros and these cons out. Okay, so in a alternate universe, I stick around, right? And say that I stick around and I keep going to these crazy functions and, you know, I'm getting triggered every single time, but I'm just powering through. I'm white knuckling it per se. You know, I'm not calling anybody. I'm not talking to anybody about it. I'm just kind of wandering around. I'm still going. Well, dude, if you're not strong enough in your recovery, that's going to lead nowhere good. That's going to lead nowhere good. And if we don't think about that and we don't really put into context how far we have come in our recovery, it's an easy, well, I guess fuck it, right? You know, fuck it. Hey, it's time for me to sit around the table, right? Or load that pipe up or fucking hand me that needle or whatever it may be. Give me the food. Let's go, you know, watch some porn. People have all kinds of things. It is what it is. You know, whatever it is that ails you, you know, when you're sitting there hanging around the lion's den, dude, like, I mean, what the fuck do you expect? What the fuck do you expect? And especially if you're not utilizing your fucking tools and working a solid program, whatever that looks like for you, you know? And I think we can get guilted into, you know, feeling bad for leaving, you know? Like, I know sometimes I can. I've gotten a lot better at that, to where these uncomfortable conversations of, hey, I'm just not going to that. Well, what do you mean you're not going to that? Well, I'm just not. I'm just not. There is nothing there for me to do. There's no need for me to be there. You know what I mean? Like, I love everybody who is there. I love everybody who is, you know, having a good time and doing their thing. Please let them know if you're going to go. But I'm not. And I'm going to need everybody to respect that and not take it fucking personal, because it's not personal. It's my personal decision, but it's nothing against you. And so if anybody reaches out to me and hits me up, which nobody does, I have no friends. All my friends are gone. Everybody hates me, dude. Henry doesn't even show up anymore. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm sitting in my room talking to myself. We're fucking losing it over here. But if you hit me up and, you know, invite me to something and I kindly say no, there may be a reason behind it. It may not be just because I'm fucking a homebody and I don't want to go. It may be, hey, the theme of this function is, you know, people getting around and drinking and shit. And, you know, I don't do that anymore, dude. So I may have to pass on this one, but it's really good seeing you. Thank you for the invite. Sometimes the invite is fucking, you know, better than even going to the goddamn event. You know, at least let me know that you were thinking about me. That makes me happy. Oh, shit. Excuse me. Let me get some water. It wouldn't be a Cameron solo episode if I didn't start coughing and have a water break. But that's what I'm getting at, right? Like, we can have this kind of, like, quote unquote, like, trigger guilt, or I guess maybe I do. Right? Like, I feel like I'm letting the addiction win by leaving. Like, I should be stronger. I should be able to do this. I should be able to hang out here. I should be able to do this. I've had this much time. This shouldn't bother me anymore. Well, it does, bro. like it does. Like, and that's okay. Like, and that's okay, bro. Like, if I'm uncomfortable, I'm fucking uncomfortable. and everybody else can fucking suck it, dude, because I honestly am the most important person there. That's Randall Brown shit. I'm the most important addict alcoholic in this room. I have a wife and kids and a fucking mortgage and everything else that depend on me being a fucking person in that life, right? In being the person that I am now, right? So, like, if I'm uncomfortable and it's making me feel a certain type of way, I can't risk that. I've worked way too motherfucking hard to hang around somewhere where I'm super uncomfortable and feeling a little fucking jumpy to appease people, to risk the entire life that I've built for myself over these last 6 years plus. It's just not happening, dude. And if you're upset about it, you, like I said already, suck it, dude. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. And you can feel a certain type of way about me. I don't care. And you can feel a certain type of way about that take. I still don't care. I still don't care. I really don't. I really don't, because the life that I have now is, 10,000 times better than anything I ever could have imagined or anything I was living up until the point. And so if I got a dip, I got a dip. And if you got a problem, we dip, we dip, we dip. All right. What's that song? You put your hand up on my hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. I put my hand up on your hip. That's me, dude. I'm showing up to your place. I'm giving you a fucking kiss and a slap on the ass, and I'm fucking out, dude. If it's getting too frisky, man, it's just not happening. So I implore everybody in recovery, and even just anybody, you know, any of our listeners, if you're a normie and say maybe it's an anxiety thing, right? Like, hey, you know, we kind of want to, you know, from an anxiety perspective, I'm not a psychologist or a mental health expert, but, you know, technically, if we're triggered somewhere, we want to kind of push ourselves out of that boundary and feel uncomfortable, right? And I guess in, you know, a certain parallel, we kind of do that with recovery too, and that helps us overcome things, right? Like, I always used to use this metaphorical, every single event that I go to, like a concert or a sporting event or a funeral or a death of somebody or something like that, it's another little piece of armor on my sobriety armor. Like, I get another chink every time I get through something hard and I don't pick up, right? So whatever it may be, we want to challenge ourselves, but we want to know when to get the fuck out, right? We want to know. And so be cognizant of where you're at, because complacency killed the cat. Just like I'm going to kill my fucking cat if it pisses on any more shit in my house. Okay? And so remember who you are and who you were, and know what's going to send you and what isn't. And only you know. Only you know. Only you know. I mean, obviously, if you talk with your loved ones or your friends or your sponsors and shit, they're going to know, like, hey, Cameron, you know, used to love sitting by the river and drinking. Well, now I can sit by the river and enjoy just the beauty, natural beauty of it. But some days that may be harder for me, right? Like, people will know that may be kind of a trigger for me. Okay. And for some people, it may be, you know, sitting at a restaurant or, like I said, you know, it can literally be anything. Like, I saw a cloud that was the shape of a dick, and that has always been a trigger for me. You know, it could be anything. And it wouldn't be a Rude Dude episode if I didn't make stupid, crude dick jokes, right? I think I've told everybody to suck it 16 times and eat my ass once. So I think we're due for about two more eat my asses before this episode wraps. But that's why you guys keep coming back, and that's why you listen. And I miss my friend Henry, man. I want him back, and I know he will be back this Thursday. That's a guarantee. I'm very, very, very fucking excited for it. But yeah, long story short, you're going to get triggered. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It doesn't mean anything. It's just who we are. It's just who we are. And we have to have radical acceptance of that. Radical acceptance of who and what we are. And know that if we feel a certain type of way, we need to listen and we need to do what is right so that we do not throw away everything that we have worked so hard for. Okay. And that is my dying on my hill statement. Just know where you're at. Know where you're at. Know why you're there. And if you don't want to go because something's telling you not to go, then don't fucking go. And if anybody has a problem, here, you ready? Number two, they can eat your fucking ass, dude. Straight up. They can eat it. They can eat it. You're not being an asshole for taking care of yourself. No one has to live between your two ears besides you. Remember that. Remember that. The pain and the anguish that happens on behind closed doors, you know, people aren't privy to that. And for somebody who struggles with that type of shit, like depression and anxiety and shit like that, ready? That's not a fun place when you're in a dark place. And especially if you add fucking, you know, using on top of that. Not a good place to be, dude. Not a good place to be. And you trying to fucking appease people and putting yourself in a triggering situation could really send you down a dark place. And guess what, man? They're not going to be there when you're laying in the bed fucking in anguish, right? I can promise you that. I can promise you that. So that's all I wanted to get on with the triggers and shit. Just, you know what you know what you know. I got a couple little two more lighthearted things before I wrap this up. You know, 42 minutes. I don't know. StreamYard was acting weird. This episode probably isn't going to start to like 32 seconds in. I don't know. It was being weird. So if you've even listened to this episode, thank you very much. But I thought another little funny thing was, the other day? I'm walking out from the kitchen into my living room, and I hear Graham sitting there, and he's just saying ball, right? Like, he's saying words now and shit, and it's cute, and, you know, you got the little baby voice and shit. He's saying ball. I'm like, oh, he must be playing with a ball. And I look over, and no, dude, he's not playing with a ball. He has his hand on, while Rudy is laying, Rudy's balls. I mean, you literally can't make this up. He's literally holding on to one of Rudy's balls. Excuse me. And I literally am like, no, dude. And the craziest thing is Rudy's just sitting there laying there, just taking it like the good fucking dog. Those Labradors, man, the greatest family dogs of all time. I have to get some more water. Excuse me. And so I tell him no. I'm like, no, Graham, no, we're not grabbing Rudy's fucking scrotum. He then eventually backs off from that. He's a little upset that I'm telling him he can't play with Rudy's balls. He then points at him and just keeps saying, ball, ball. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, well, he's not wrong, but like, how do I fucking correct this? These are these parenting issues that you know, no book or no parent can ever prepare you for. So I cannot wait for my son to grow up and hear this, because dude, you were literally sitting there saying ball, grabbing our dog's nutsack. So son, I love you. Ham, you're the man, dude. But it was fucking hilarious, dude. It was the last thing I was expecting. Another thing I wasn't expecting today, because today I went over and saw my brother for a little bit. I come home, me and Addie went over and saw my brother and my nieces and shit, and just to get out of the house for a little bit. I like to give Ash a break by taking at least one of the kids to get out of the house so she can kind of relax a little bit. Well, why don't you take both kids, dickhead? Well, you know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I should probably take them more. So there you go. I'll admit that right here. But we end up coming back, and this is funny, right? Like, okay, so the Olympics are going on, right? And everybody's probably already seen this and heard this, but I think it's super funny, right? So I got Addie a Happy Meal, which is excellent parenting, buying McDonald's for lunch. But you know what? It is what it is. And it has like these little Olympic stickers and shit. And for some reason, Ash goes, oh, have you seen the pole vaulting thing? And I'm like, no, dude, what happened? Like, what happened in this pole vaulting thing? And she's like, oh, the dude was going over the pole vault and he hit the pole with his dick. And I'm like, oh, sick, bro. So we're just like, I was like, well, oh, that's dope. Like, what do you mean he hit it with his dick? And like, my head initially goes like straight to this, like, dude, this guy must have a rod and a half, bro. What do you mean his dick hit the pole and then he got disqualified? So she ends up searching the video, which she must have had on speed dial because it popped up really fast. And lo and behold, dude, this French Olympic athlete is going over the pole vault, and this guy's massive fucking package hits the fucking pole and he fails. And so I look at Ash and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here, dude? Like, what's happening? And she just kind of looks at me and laughs. But like, I'm gone for 2 hours and we're sitting here watching fucking French guys with huge rods fucking getting disqualified. Like, what's happening, dude? What is happening? So if you haven't seen that, I think it rivals Drake's fucking snake cock. Go and watch the French guy's huge dong hit the pole vaulting pole. You definitely do not want to miss it. My wife enjoyed it thoroughly, and now I have a complex. So, I love you, babe, but that is fucking funny that I come home and she's talking to me about fucking French guys with huge dicks fucking hitting fucking poles. It's ridiculous. I mean, what's going on around here? So, like I said, now I've been rambling. I'm sorry if this episode was insufferable, but we had to put something out, and you know what? It's getting a little bit easier sitting here talking to myself. I will say that. Definitely not ideal, but I hope that somebody got something from it, because that's all that matters. So if it reaches one of you and you can relate, holler at us, man. Reach out to us, and that's where I'm going to get into next. Reach out to us, you know, on Spotify. If you actually scroll down a little bit farther, you can leave a little bit of a review, maybe a 5-star rating. You can also leave us a voice message. We have yet to get one of these, but if you make one, I promise you, we will put it on the show. You will get airtime on this show if you leave us a little voicemail saying, hey, I love the podcast, or hey, Cameron, you are as mature as a 16-year-old, or hey, Henry, I love you. You're the best. Whatever it is, that would be fucking sick. And send it to a friend. Next week, which is a short 5 days away, Hen and I will be reunited. We will be sitting together, staring at each other. I'm sure we'll go over all sorts of fun stories that maybe Henry has, because, you know, he was in Wyoming, Nebraska, Ohio, Colorado. I mean, he's pretty much been to every fucking state now over the last 2 weeks. So we should probably sit down and hear some cool stories of his travels. I'm sure there's some. The hotel that he walked out of in Wyoming looked like a skinwalker was going to come right for his ass. So I'm sure there was some sketch shit going on. But that is it for this week. So, well, maybe not. Maybe not. I have a Cree Rims quote for you guys. I'm looking at my notes. I know I got ahead of myself. And it's very fitting. Coming from the guy who just explained to everybody for almost 50 minutes that the outdoors triggers him sometimes, I have a very outdoorsy quote for everyone. It goes as follows. Cherish sunsets, wild creatures, and wild places. Have a love affair with the wonder and the beauty of the earth. Stuart Udall. And that's true. That's true. Just because it makes you feel uncomfortable, if you got to leave, I had to get off the cliff, hey, that's fine. I still soaked in a bunch of the beauty that this life has to offer. Not loaded. Right. And, you know, step outside, smell the roses, take a look. We preach that all the time. Get off the phone, you know, get off the phone, get off the TV and go out there and just look at the beauty around you. It's quite complex when you sit and you take a look at it, and it can put you in a sense of amazement. So that was my quote for the week. We'll be back on Thursday, and I will finish this like I always do. I love you, Hen, very much. I cannot wait. I literally, quite literally, cannot wait to have you back. And Hen says, be yourself and fuck what they think. And I go, this episode's not going to be edited, so hey, I hope you like the Blackbird intro. Later, dude.